Give my regards to King Tut.
Change has come to America.
The truth is out there.
Some alien race to come down and threaten us.
The military-industrial complex.
A highly funded yet unofficial government agency.
I've now been in 57 states.
On a cool July evening in the heartland, this is PID Radio. I'm Derek Gilbert.
And I'm Sharon Gilbert, everybody. Welcome to the bunker. It's Wednesday, July the 1st of 2009.
Yes, the heart of summer in the middle of America, and it's only 65 degrees outside.
This global warming is killing me.
Oh, climate change. Climate change.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Don't I wasn't politically
say global
correct.
Warming anymore. Right. Boy, you know, I
you know
never
why?
Knew.
Because global
I never
warming
knew.
Is GW, and he's not in office anymore.
That's right. He's right out of there. Well, you know, this is just proof positive of the power of our president. I mean, we passed it. It hasn't even passed the Senate yet, and already they've reduced the typical summertime temperature here in Indiana by 20 degrees.
That is right.
Brilliant.
You know, and thanks to Richard Lugar.
Yeah.
We're really going to do well.
Yeah.
And the old evil eye, Obama, is taking care of it all. If
yes.
you've not, if you are listening to this from iTunes or something like that, be sure to go to PIDradio.com and see the picture that accompanies this.
Yeah, the show notes.
This netcast, because in the show notes, you'll see why I just mentioned that. Yesterday at Drudge Report, It was all about Obama's evil eye. Beware his evil eye.
Yeah, it's a look that I think the best adjective to describe it is baleful. B-A-L-E-F-U-L. Baleful. That is a baleful look that he is casting upon reporters who
it's
dare.
It's full of bale.
Yes, and not Christian bale either.
Well, let me tell you, Proverbs 16:30 says, "He who winks with his eye is plotting perversity." I don't know if that's the evil eye or not, but speaking of eye.
They were pretty smart 3,000 years ago, weren't they?
Speaking of eye.
Yes.
Eye, sir. Eye is also the name of a certain priest in Egypt.
Eye, A-Y.
A-Y.
Mm-hmm.
Who, it is thought by some, married the widow of Akhenaten.
Okay.
So one could spell the evil eye A-Y.
And we'll talk more about the Akhenaten thing.
Did you want to go somewhere first? Because I want to just go ahead and run with this.
Well, I do, but let's just put your mental gears and neutral for just a moment. Before you made a reference to Dick Lugar here just a second ago, and I want to explain that. I want to explain that to people real quick before we move on, because it'll only take a second. Mention Dick Lugar because in context of global warming and climate change, because one of the main beneficiaries of the climate change bill, assuming it passes the Senate, which it probably will, is the Chicago Climate Exchange. This is a
because it's good enough, it's well written enough, and doggone.
That's right.
People and, like it.
Yeah, and doggone Al Franken, exactly. Stuart Smalley, Senator Smalley from Minnesota, now taking the
back to Dick Lugar.
The Chicago Climate Exchange will be the commodity exchange for carbon credits. Now, the Chicago Commodity Exchange, the Chicago Climate Exchange, was set up by a grant from a nonprofit trust in the Chicago area some years ago, back when then State Senator Barack Obama sat on the board of directors. But much to our surprise, as we did a little research on this yesterday, one of the very first, in fact, the first farmer in the state of Indiana to sign up as a carbon, not a carbon producer, but a carbon offsetter, I guess, a seller of carbon offsets, was the owner of Lugar Stock Farms in Marion County, which just happens to be our senior senator, Dick Lugar, a Republican, and the ranking Republican
so
on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee.
So you think he's going to vote for it?
I think so. Now,
I think so, too.
To this point, he hasn't cashed in on any of these carbon credits, which I gather he's getting because he's got like 600 acres and 200 of it have hardwood trees on it that he's not cutting down. So for not cutting down the trees and farming, he's being given carbon credits that he could sell.
I think we should get a ton of them. We've got that big tree in the backyard that we're not going to cut
walnuts.
Down. We've got volunteer walnuts coming
poplars,
up like crazy.
Mulberries.
We've got clover rather than grass.
Yeah, nitrogen.
We've got a dog who's doing his best to fertilize.
Well, he emits a little carbon out there when he's walking around. I'm not so sure that they've. We'll just kind of keep that on the down low.
He says that's better than what the squirrels are doing, so there.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the reference to Dick Luger in context of climate change.
It is, but back to the priest named Eye.
The evil Eye. Okay, engage the brain again here.
It did indeed. Well, he is said to have been the one who married the widow of Akhenaten. And, of course, we've, you know, Barakhenaten, we've been, and I wish I'd come up with that of my own, but I didn't. He has, we've seen this meme running over and over and over again.
The
new
King
Tut. If you haven't made
yeah.
the connection, folks, right. it's still going with Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson had a video out, 1992 or something
right.
like that. Remember the time where he was this mystical being that came in and he sang to Akhenaten and Nefertiti.
Right. Akhenaten played by Eddie Murphy.
Played by Eddie Murphy. And I just think it's really interesting because I married the widow of King Tut, who was Akhenaten's son. His wife, who became a widow and was also his half-sister, was Anaxenamun.
Anaxenamun. Now, that name is very familiar.
It's probably familiar because it's the name of the character in The Mummy.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Well, they got it from...
The girlfriend of Imhotep.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's where they got that name. Well, here's what's really interesting. Apparently today, someone calling herself... Let me get this name exactly right here because she's got a long name. Calling herself Nona Paris Lola Anaxenamun Jackson. Saying that she is Michael Jackson's widow.
Uh-huh.
Which would make him King Tut.
She's claiming to be Anaxenamun.
She's claiming to be...
Nona Lola Paris.
She's saying that she... Well, that's part of her name. Mm-hmm. And she is saying that she was married to Jackson at the time of his death. Of course, this is probably ludicrous, but this is part of the meme that's being put out there. She wants all of his money, all of his property, and the kids that she claims are biologically hers. But here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
She also says... Though he died to this earth, he lives with my father, Khalid Lucifer.
Khalid Lucifer. Now, has anyone done any research? I mean, what's the deal with Khalid Lucifer?
I don't know, but it sounds pretty... It doesn't sound healthy.
No.
Doesn't sound like the kind of name. But again, it's this, you know, satanic Luciferian... meme that's being put out there. Michael Jackson himself referred to himself as a golden child in this mummy video that he did for Remember the Time from the Dangerous album, which if you've not seen that album cover, folks, it is twisted. He is dressed all in gold and he is, again, he's performing for King Tut, who was the son of King Akhenaten, the pharaoh Akhenaten.
Right.
And it's remarkable how much Barack Obama looks like Akhenaten. And here we've got a meme now about King Tut. And Barack Obama was referred to as the new King Tut.
Right, right.
Over in Egypt when he spoke from Cairo. So we've got this continuation of a meme that's really kind of disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
And... Barack Obama, who is like the sun, well, Michael Jackson was like the moon. He's referred to as the moonwalker.
Uh-huh. And he was loony, which is, of course, loony.
Well, he
no,
was.
I'm sorry, that's a cheap
no,
shot.
No, I'm serious about this. This is a meme that is being played over and over again, and these videos are playing over and over again, and they're hypnotic.
Right. They are that, and certainly the rhythms are, but visually they're very striking. I mean, he was groundbreaking.
That's what I mean. It's not
90s.
Just the music.
Mm-hmm.
It's there's something visually that you can't look away from it.
Mm-hmm. It's, well, interesting. What idea would they be planting with this whole sort of Egyptian lunar deity?
Well, I think a notion that a deity Osiris, mm-hmm. you know, if you take a look at Peter Goodgame's studies, is about to resurrect.
Right. And we can't overlook the fact that Allah, prior to his deification or elevation by Muhammad, was a moon god, an Arab moon god mm-hmm. back in the day.
Yes, exactly. And about the time that Michael Jackson passed away, and again, just, you know, I pray that he really did accept the Lord mm-hmm. before his death. That would be my greatest desire for him. I want no one to have to be separated from God for eternity. Mm-hmm. At the time that he passed away, if I remember correctly, Saturn, which as a planet represents Satan, mm-hmm. Lucifer, Saturn, the moon, and Jupiter, which represents
another aspect,
yeah. were all conjuncting. Hmm. Now, if I'm wrong on that, please, Jupiter may not have been in there. I'd have to go back and look. Honestly, I'm speaking off the, I don't have a note in front of me on this, because I made a note about this interesting conjunction that happened at the time. And don't think for a minute that I'm one of those people that believes in astrology in the way that, oh, I'm going to go to the paper and see what my horoscope is for today. I don't believe in those.
No, uh-uh.
But I do believe that God placed the stars and the planets in the sky to tell us things. They are there for signs. That's right there in Scripture. Mm-hmm. So anytime I see something rare or interesting or making what according to, excuse me, to the occult, if the occult is taking a look at it and saying, oh, this has a special meaning, then I have to, as someone who's in a spiritual battle, try to get insider information. So when the other side goes out of its way to repeat a meme over and over and over again, it's important that we really pay attention and try to figure out what is it that they're trying to program us to believe.
And as you mentioned yesterday, we've got this all taking place as we come up on a weekend that is just about 3.5 years to the day prior to the date that many point to as being of some special significance, December mm-hmm. 21st of 2012, which is when the cycle of the ages, the eon, mm-hmm. has reached an end, according to the Mayan calendar.
Get to the midnight point on that big, you know, clock that goes around the earth, mm-hmm. so to speak. The procession that David Flynn writes about so eloquently. So we're almost there. So that's why we pay attention to these things.
Khalid, by the way, I was looking this up while you were talking. And the meaning of the name is essentially it's a pre-Islamic Arabic name that means immortal. So this.
So her immortal
Nona
father,
Lola,
Lucifer.
Yeah, the Nona Lola. She's saying exactly what we think she's saying, which is that. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that.
Well, probably very little is going to happen to it. But again, it just seems to me like it's the kind of story that gets planted in the newspaper from now and then, that really is just sort of a reminder that there's a little message that we want you guys to take and start to internalize and not realize that later on, that's the kind of stuff that made you believe it, mm-hmm. you know, believe the lie.
Yeah, it's very easy to pick up theology from just by absorption, just by osmosis, just kind of soaking in cultural references.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a big an unveiling that's about to take place on the earth. And God tells us that he will send strong delusion that you would believe a lie, that they will believe a lie. And we're being set up through television, through news articles, through movies to believe this lie.
And I think that's a really good idea that at peeringintodarkness.com, you put that link that is leading to articles that refer to this coming unveiling, this grand delusion. And getting back to the movie that we talked about the other night with Ron Perlman and Cuba Gooding Jr., The Devil's Tomb. That's why we were so disappointed, because that movie was like a gifted student who just won't apply itself. It could have really been good because it had a wonderful premise. It's the first thing we've come out of Hollywood from a major studio, no less. This was a Sony picture with big name stars. I mean, Ron Perlman of the Hellboy movies, Cuba Gooding Jr., who's a headliner, identifying the Nephilim with and the fallen angels with alien greys. It's like, yes, but then they really didn't go there, except for, you know, using that as an excuse to get them down in these tunnels and have them chased around by zombies. So,
almost like the whole purpose of the thing was to, again, be part of this repeating meme.
Right.
But not really give anything away, not really give you any meat to chew on, and therefore make it dismissive because it's such a silly movie.
That's why we write, and that's why we write fiction. Somebody's got to tell stories that actually get it right. So,
well, we do our best to do that.
That's true. That's true. We take a stab. We've talked before with Russ Dizdar and others about pharmakia, about something referenced in the Bible as you know, it's something to be avoided because it may potentially open gateways. I mean, it's known that for hundreds, if not thousands of years, pagan shaman will use drugs to open doors to the supernatural world. And it's interesting to note when science kind of scratches the surface of something like that without actually knowing what they're talking about. I mean, of course, we interviewed Peter Lavenda several times, and a lot of his work in and I can't remember the name of the series of books that he put out now, the Sinister Forces collection, dealt with the CIA and the U.S. government's attempts to break down barriers within the human mind and spirit to make people more controllable, when in fact they actually succeeded in breaking down barriers to other dimensions and opening people up to control from forces that are not under the control of the government. Study that is published in the current issue of the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, it was produced at Georgetown University, on Ambien, which is a sleep aid that's advertised on TV, has discovered a mechanism by which the sleep drug shuts down some circuits in the brain, but not all of them. So there have been reports from people who've taken Ambien for some time now, of people who get up and make themselves something to eat, or, you know, I mean, not just sleepwalk, they get out and sleep drive, and have no memory of the act when they get up the next morning. And they've discovered, these researchers now, that there are circuits in the brain that apparently are shut down by this drug, while others are left open.
Well, you know, it's really interesting because I won't say who it is, but someone I know has suffered some problems with this. And she's not the type who would eat a lot of food. Let's put it that way. And apparently in the middle of the night, she has, during times when she's taken this Ambien or the generic equivalent, she has gotten up and fried up a couple of chickens and eaten them all by herself.
Fried the chickens in her sleep.
Mm-hmm.
That's almost as frightening as getting out and driving
asleep. It really is. If you know, picture yourself standing in front of a stove and doing things that could potentially harm you if you're not really paying attention. Mm-hmm. It's really frightening that there are so many things out there. And that, in fact, I just started a series of articles at my website. The first one went up today, where I'm talking about how science maybe is in over their heads. And at least I think many scientists are. They don't realize what they're messing with when they mess with pharmakia. But it gets into the whole Genesis 6 thing and the vaccines that are coming up, and I'm just kind of try to do a really comprehensive look over a long period of time at how all of these things affect our everyday lives and how we take it for granted that, you know, let's just grab a pill from the medicine cabinet and take it. And again, back to Michael Jackson, he was taking all kinds of stuff.
Right. He was not limited by income or health insurance restrictions.
No.
Whatever Michael wanted, Michael pretty much found somebody who was able to give it to him.
Spending $30,000 or $40,000 a month on drugs.
Now, if he'd had... Well, I won't turn that into a joke. It's because it's sad. There are people who were enabling his descent into whatever private hell he lived his last few years. We saw somebody, it was Deepak Chopra, the well-known mm-hmm. you know, author and speaker, last night on TV, actually saying that Michael Jackson was a victim, that he was a victim of his success, he was a victim of the fans, he was a victim of the pressures that were placed on him. He was a victim of the choices that he made.
Exactly.
And sadly, with no one around him to say, no, you shouldn't do that, and here's why. No one willing to say, Michael, this is self-destructive, you can't do this. We saw the result.
Mm-hmm.
So, and sadly, he's not the only one in the world. I mean, no. All of us to some degree have, choices that
we've all made bad choices at one time or another. And sadly, there are some choices that affect you more long term than others.
Yeah.
You know, there are some people that make a really bad choice, but because it's not the kind that has repercussions, you know, decades down the line, you may not really feel like you're suffering as much as somebody else who makes one stupid mistake one night and lives with it for the rest of her life or his mm-hmm. life. Total left turn. Honduras is in an upheaval. I got a wonderful email today from a gal who has personal contact down in Honduras, and apparently this president who was just kicked out
mm-hmm.
was about to rewrite the Constitution and essentially set himself up as the king.
Mm-hmm. The United Nations apparently have taken pity on the ousted president of Honduras.
Poor guy, he just wanted to help the poor.
Yeah, by rewriting the Constitution to eliminate those pesky term limits. I can't help the poor if I'm out of my phony baloney job.
Well, you know, one of the things he did... Please excuse me, I have a dry throat for some reason. One of the things he did in his rush to help the poor was to, if I remember it correctly, he doubled the minimum wage instantly. That ended up having a lot of people lose their jobs
because
companies couldn't suddenly double their payroll.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, economics is a little more complex than that.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what happens. Manuel Zelaya, the ousted Honduran president who is trying
Yeehaw! To use... He always wears a cowboy hat.
Trying to use the UN to restore him to power. The leader of the military coup there says he's not coming back.
No.
So.
No, I think if he tries to go back, there will be... Well, it won't be pretty. Let's just put it this way.
Mm-hmm.
That way. He was apparently really... big pals with Chavez.
Yeah.
And in many, many, many ways, according to the email that I got today, Honduras was becoming a little Venezuela.
Yeah. The presidents of Argentina and Ecuador have agreed to accompany Zelaya if and when he decides to return to Honduras. So that could provoke a really interesting showdown at the airport.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, just again, pray for the people of Honduras because, as always happens in situations like these, the elites fight their battles, but for some reason, it's always the average person on the street who feels the consequences.
There's one last thing I want to mention, and it's something that really is more in your bailiwick, so to speak. Bailey being your dad's...
mother's name, yes.
Your mother's name. Well, your grandmother's name.
Right.
Your dad's middle name.
Mm-hmm.
Rick Warren is going to be speaking at a group of Islamic Americans.
Yeah, it's a conference of North American Muslims
mm-hmm.
over the 4th of July weekend. And we talked about this about a week ago, and just wondering what Pastor Warren's going to say when he addresses the war.
That's what I'm wondering. And he's been called out by a couple of people who have said that if he's going to do this, then his responsibility is to put the gospel, clear gospel message in his speech.
Yeah, absolutely. And it would take a very brave man to do it. I'm not
sure. Paul would have done it.
Paul would have done it in a heartbeat. He would have done it. And I'm sure a number of the other apostles would have too. But it seems that today the most prominent American evangelicals, and I put that in air quotes, when given the opportunity, like Joel Osteen on Larry King's show a couple of years back, or Rick Warren at the commencement, will take the opportunity to suddenly get all ecumenical and stuff. Well, you know, this is what I believe, but I'm not sure it's for everybody. And Yeah, this is, we pray in the name of Jesus and Isa and, you know, come on. I'm not saying it's an easy thing to do because when you've got that many people with their eyes on you, it's easy to cave under the pressure. I know that. But, you know, if you're going to accept the invitation, then the Holy Spirit's put you there for a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Amen.
The Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. I mean, we're told that in Scripture. Don't worry about what you're going to say when you're called before kings on account of my name. I'll tell you what to say. Well, we just pray that Rick Warren, as he goes before the North American Convention of Muslims this weekend, will listen to what the Holy Spirit's telling him.
You know, the Holy Spirit is the best teleprompter of all.
Yeah, I wish I paid more attention to that teleprompter.
Hey, I got to say this. Just in case, with all the Michael Jackson coverage, you've missed this story. There was a ship that was detained near Gaza that had someone on board whose name you probably recognize. Cynthia McKinney is now in the custody
yes.
of the Israelis.
Yeah, you know, you told me this story after I got home today, and I couldn't remember her name, but I knew her face. I, you know, saying, "Oh yeah, she's the one who slapped the guard at the Capitol."
Exactly.
Yeah, sure enough, that's who it is. U.S. Former U.S. Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney, and a Nobel Peace Laureate from Ireland, Mairead McGuire. 11 nationals representing 11 other countries been arrested. They were trying to bring a boat with about 3 tons of supplies to Gaza. It's called the Free Gaza Movement.
And, it is. It's kind of interesting. According to Greta Berlin, who was talking to Ynet News, she said they simply kidnapped the passengers. And she says, "I call on the Israeli occupation forces to release our people immediately." She says, "What are they going to do, deport us?" Well, in fact, according to Fox News, they are.
Yep. Well, and her reason for saying that was because the last place they wanted to go was Israel to begin with. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's like somebody working for, say, a dealership that's about to be closed by General Motors saying, "What are they going to do, fire me?" Well,
I know. See,
kind of the joke there. But,
well, speaking of ships, that North Korean ship that the United States was sort of tracking.
Yeah, headed for Myanmar.
Shadowing. They've turned around.
Really?
Yeah. So they may be heading back to North Korea. It's kind of hard to tell.
Well, we'll keep an eye on that and see what where it goes next and whether they're just trying to provoke something, because that seems like kind of odd behavior.
It does seem like odd behavior, especially yeah. It's almost like a stall tactic. Look over here, follow mm-hmm. this, don't look over here, because remember what he said, Kim Jong-il said was that he planned on firing the rocket around the 4th of July.
Nice of him to honor the Independence Day celebration that way.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Well, we will have a show tomorrow night, but because of the holiday weekend and some travel we'll be doing, we will not be producing a show on Friday night. There will be an interview this weekend, interview with Jason Offutt, the author of Darkness Walks, The Shadow People mm-hmm. Among Us. We talked with him about shadow people sort of before, but he's written a whole book on the topic now, covering it from all aspects, and so that'll be up on Sunday evening. And then we'll be back on Monday.
Yeah, and the following Sunday, you've got tentatively scheduled.
Yeah.
Pastor Tony.
A young man who is remarkable, and we want to introduce you to him, and we will be soon linking his podcast, which is called, very simply, The Bible Podcast, just preaching and exposition on the Word of God. We'll be linking that at PIDradio.com. So,
yeah, it won't be part of our feed or anything like that, but you'll be able to find all of his shows linked
on
our website.
But I think after you hear from him and hear his testimony and how he got to where he is today, he's a recent graduate from seminary, and he is one of those unique breed of pastors out there. I think there are probably very few who believe that the Word of God, the Bible, is the inerrant Word of God in the original language, and yet also believes that there's something to this whole ufology thing. But, of course, from a Christian and biblical perspective.
Exactly. But you know what? If you really believe what's written there and you really study what's written there, I don't know how you could get around believing in, mm-hmm. you know, the ufology thing, that there's something to it. It may not be mm-hmm. little gray aliens, as many people think they are.
Right.
But there's something there and something going on. And I think a lot of it's explained right there in Scripture.
But we talked about, you know, picking up sort of a cultural doctrine, a cultural theology, and that sort of happens. That happens in churches, too. If the pastor's not preaching it, you're not hearing about it anywhere, why would you ever, you know, think to connect those dots? You almost have to do independent study in order to get to where you know, people like Mike Heiser, Guy Malone, and now Tony Walker.
Amen. So well, we got to go because we're way over.
Oh,
that rats. Clock isn't even right. You didn't
I know.
That.
We've I
got,
know.
We've got a clock that we watched that kind of counts, and this one actually it stopped for a while.
Yeah.
We had to kick it in the side. And, so we have no idea how long this show is.
Yeah. Snap. Anyway, email address, if you've got comments, questions, or suggestions for us, you can find us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. And, of course, the link in the show notes at PIDradio.com will take you to the Piercing the Darkness Forum, where you can discuss these ideas with other like-minded folk.
That is right. And you can always find us. We're still on Facebook. We're not leaving. You can't get rid of us. You cannot. We also want to thank, I've got to find my little note here. Richard, thank you very much. You helped us out with that bandwidth fund. You made a donation, and boy, we are so happy.
Yes, thank
because,
you.
It is costing us more, and we don't, we try not to mention this very often, but, you know, the Lord has laid it on our hearts that there are some folks out there that maybe have an extra buck or two. And if you do, you can help us out and you're enjoying the shows or getting, you know, if you find them edifying in any way, and you yes. have a little dollar or something, kick it in the kitty.
Yeah, believe it. Yeah, we deeply appreciate it. We thank you very much. Until tomorrow, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
There's a new day coming. There's a new day coming down. There's a new day coming. Oh, a new day coming. A new day coming. A new day coming. Oh,
on demand.
This is PID Radio.